Live all over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and in Richmond on AM 910, FM 105.1. It is a Monday after the Commanders lost in Baltimore 30-23 at the hands of the Ravens. They are still 4-2 and in first place, and it's time to talk to former head coach here in D.C., Jay Gruden, about these Commanders.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Jay, I want to start with Jaden Daniels, who in his second ever loss at quarterback, if we're playing that game, I thought acquitted himself really, really well yesterday. He was mostly kept in the pocket. They weren't able to run the ball. He had to do more with his arm. And it seemed to me like he passed the test. But you've watched the film. You've studied the performance. What did you think of Daniels?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he played well. You know, obviously they didn't get the win, but he did have no running game to help him out a lot. They played from behind, which, you know, if you had a concern or something he hasn't really done yet is play from behind. You know, they got beat pretty good by Tampa week one, but they played with the lead the last four in their win streak and hadn't had to play from behind against a pretty good defense from Baltimore front anyway. And he did good. I mean, Baltimore scored to go up 14. Jaden took him right down to cut it to 7. Baltimore went down, kicked a field goal, make it 10. He took him down, kicked a field goal, make it 7. So I thought he was competitive. He was accurate. Missed a couple throws, but for the most part, I thought he did good.
Yeah, the ones that he missed, if you remember off the top of your head, Jay, go into those where what did you see, what did he see, and kind of what were some of the ones where he went, ooh, he probably wants that one back.
Yeah, the one on third down, he was trying to make a play, and he just overthrew Dombey Brown or bounced off the safety's face. Mm-hmm. Almost intercepted. That one just sailed on him. He's throwing on a move. That's a tough throw against your body, against the grain, and trying to throw a guy across the field. That's one you probably wouldn't throw if it was first down, but since it was third down or trailing, he probably just tried to force it. Then he missed a couple other ones, which, you know, he had a couple balls batted down, but nothing is really fundamentally wrong with him. He's an accurate passer. He's 24 for 35, for God's sakes, and played pretty well.
It seemed to me like the Ravens did a better job keeping him in the pocket. I noticed in-house a couple of times where they had Roquan Smith legit spy him on some third downs. I don't know how often they did that over the course of the whole game. But what was their plan? Because it did seem to work in terms of mitigating him as a runner. He had 3 design runs for all of 3 yards and then otherwise had 3 scrambles for a total of 19.
Yeah, they did a good job keeping him in the pocket, like you mentioned. And the most important thing was stopping the run game, which, you know, without Brian Robinson Jr., I think that had a little bit of an impact because you don't want to overload Austin Eckler and give him the ball 25 times a game. Baltimore came into the game holding teams under 60 yards rushing the game, so we knew that was going to be an issue. But for the most part, I think Baltimore's plan is play the way they normally play. They get their safeties involved. They have 2 very good safeties, and they got them. Hamilton was involved in a lot of the run support issues, and then in the passing game, keep them in the pocket and play good tight man coverage. Get on the receivers, and that's probably the only issue offensively right now. You're concerned about somebody outside of Terry getting some separation on a consistent basis when you're playing against a good defense with a formidable pass rush.
Yeah, Jay, you mentioned not having Brian Robinson. What's the real tangible effect in terms of what Kingsbury can call and maybe what it might do to a defense to not have to worry about Robinson?
Yeah, I think some of his inside zones, he's probably more unlikely to call. You know, he still called a couple of them, but they have a couple good run concepts. They did a couple good zone read concepts that I liked, where Jaden could have kept one of them. Might have been a dang 40-yard game. But for the most part, I just think sticking with the run like they had in their 4-game winning streak. They did such a good job against the Giants and Cincinnati and Arizona and Cleveland. I just think he probably got away from it a little bit more and went to the passing game for a couple reasons. One, they didn't have Brian, and two, they were behind a little bit and felt like they had to match score for score with Baltimore.
Yeah, I think chasing the game probably a factor in that, as Jay points out as well. Jay Gruden, former head coach here in D.C. on Grant and Danny. I wanted to ask you about the lack of, forget commitment, even attempt to run. And I'm not complaining as much as observing. I'd always prefer to make the short passing work as the running game. But, like, that has been the M.O. this year, and I know they didn't have B-Rob. But, like, early on, Eckler ends up 9 for 21. 2 of his first 3 or so carries were downhill at a gun for 5 or 6 yards. It's not like they got nothing in the early going, but they didn't really try to, I didn't think. I was interested in why that was.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think led to that in terms of what Baltimore was giving them?
My thing could have been game planning because Baltimore had played, you know, pretty good run defense. You know, they stuffed Dallas's running game for the most part. Buffalo couldn't get a yard with Cook, and Cincinnati, they kind of threw the ball all over the yard. When you see Cincinnati, obviously they have Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. They threw the ball all over the yard going into the game. Hey, we can throw the ball against these corners. We got to get after these corners. And I think that's the game plan for most teams facing the Ravens. The Ravens right now, if they have a weakness on their team, it's their back end, their corners. And I think they just felt like they got the matchups they wanted with the corners. Let's not try to run at Roquan on this big defensive line. Let's try to get after the corners. That's the weakness of their defense, and I have no problem with that.
Jay, big picture here for Washington. And this offseason, by the way, they're way better than I thought they would be, just kind of coming into this thing. So I was wrong, front office was right, et cetera. But in a game like that, it felt to me like they maybe could have used one more good playmaker at the receiver spot opposite McLaurin. I know some stuff was schemed up, and Zacchaeus dropped one of those passes. I think it was a third down pass, might have been a first down, but it felt to me like they could have used one more like stud on the opposite side so that Baltimore, you know, might have to pay a little bit. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that was my concern about the offense coming into this year, was somebody else other than Terry that can do some serious damage. And in their four-game winning streak, they had different guys step up, and Jaden was spreading the ball around to different guys. Yami Brown had some plays. Noah Brown had some plays. Zacchaeus made some plays. But I just feel like when it comes push to shove, if Terry is getting guarded by the best corner in the league, there's some good corners out there that he's going to have to face. If he gets shut down a little bit, somebody else has to step up, and I'm still not confident in one of those other guys stepping up. Maybe it's going to be Zach Ertz through the tight end. Maybe it's Austin Eckler through the backfield. So they have different ways to do it, but I am a little bit concerned with the other receivers.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny every Monday at 5 o'clock to break down the Commanders game. The unfortunate news today for Washington, and it's not like they've got a lot of wiggle room defensively with personnel because it's been a bad defensive year as it is. John Allen has been lost for the season, it sounds like. He's going to get another opinion, but the fear is he tore his pec and he is done for the year. How damaging is that, and what are they going to have to do to overcome not having one of their better players on defense?
It's damaging because of the rotations, and Jonathan has been coming out. They've had a really good rotation on their front, keeping those guys fresh. Now all of a sudden you're backup is your starter. Now who's going to be the backup for that guy's rotation? That's where the issue comes in. Depth is critical on the defensive line. You love to have Allen play, Payne play most of the time, but they get tired, so they have to come out. When Derrick Henry's pounding the ball and those guys are running the ball and they're out on the field a long time, you got to have a great rotation. And when you lose a guy, it damages your rotation.
Jay, you were here, obviously, and there were times where the defense wasn't maybe as strong as the offense. I think that might be fair to say, right? You went through that?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Too. What do you tell the defensive coaches in these kinds, where it's obvious that, and you know, it's personnel, and it's, you know, maybe it's science game, whatever.
When you are the defensive coach in Dan Quinn's case.
But I guess the question is, philosophically, what would it be? Like, to me, and I want your take, and then I just kind of want you to know what kind of conversations you'd had with the defensive minds, but I would go, just try to turn them over. You can't stop them anyway. The sooner we get the ball back, the sooner I can get back to work. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with this defense and how much fun this offense is, but what kind of convos would you have with the defensive staff when they were nowhere near pulling their weight?
Well, you got to do a good job of scheming up some stuff, and then you got to have great effort. You got to out-effort them every week, and I think that's where Dan Quinn's coming from. He expects extreme effort, and if he doesn't get extreme effort with that group, they're going to get crushed. But if they play hard, like you say, you can get a couple hands on the ball, maybe force some turnovers. They did pull Baltimore to 3 field goals and a punt and got a pick, so they had 5 stops technically, if you count field goals as a stop. So they did some decent things on defense, but you're right, they are outmanned. So when you are outmanned, you got to play with great, great energy, and then you have to have some schematic blitzes that get home and try to get some sacks.
It felt to me like in the first half they said, we will not let Derrick Henry get going. And he ran the ball 9 times for 38 yards with like a 12. And they did a really good job But Zay Flowers went for a career day in one half. I mean, at halftime, Zay Flowers had 9 targets, 9 catches, 132. And then in the second half, they pretty much said, okay, we can't let Zay Flowers do that. He didn't get another catch. But then Derrick Henry went 15 for 94. So I don't know what the answer is, but in that situation where a team kind of loads up, you beat them over the top, then they play a little better in the back end, you just take what's there and you run the ball. Like, what could they have done? What was the adjustment that maybe you look at and you go, man, I wish Joe Witt would have tried this.
Well, they've put 28 on Dallas, 35 on Buffalo, 41 on Cincinnati. So these are good coaches as well. McDermott's a good coach at Buffalo, and obviously Cincinnati's coordinator is good. Dallas, Zimmer. I mean, so they're doing it to everybody. And if you really flip the coin, I think eventually Washington's going to give people the same problems. You load up the box to stop the run and make sure you get an extra guy in there for Jaden's ability to run. And when you get B-Rob back, now you're going to have McLaurin one-on-one all over the place. And that's what happened for Baltimore. I mean, a ton of single safety for Coach Quinn there in the first half, and Baltimore took advantage of it. They were running in-breaking routes, crossing routes. Then they got Andrews involved. Baton got involved in the second half, likely had a big catch. So it's pick your poison. What do you want to call? Do you want to play a light box to stop the passing game, make sure Zay Flowers doesn't hurt you, then all of a sudden Derrick Henry and Lamar will just torturing you, or do you want to play a loaded box and try to get some extra people in there to stop Lamar, and then you leave your corners in jeopardy? So it's pick your poison. Nobody's been able to figure it out yet, but eventually I think the Commanders give people the same type of issue. You want to load the box up and stop Washington's run game and leave, you know, Terry McLaurin out there, or do you want to have hands on Terry and let Eckler and B-Rob kick your ass?
Jay Gruden with us here on GND. So as a play caller, knowing that they've got, you know, a pretty good recipe where they've been moving the football, this week's point total not the same, but I still think, you know, you wouldn't say the offense was a failure by any stretch. How much of this, again, is this is what we do well and let's see if it works the next week versus, oh, I've got some new wrinkles I can kind of add in? What's that balance, Jay, as someone that's calling plays and designing offense?
Well, I think you do what you do. You got to make sure you stick with what your identity is. And through the first 5-6 weeks, I think Washington, they're actually a run-first team. And then that opens up the play-action pass huge for Jaden and his ability to run. And then obviously the drop-back game will come with it. So you'll add some more wrinkles depending on the coverage you're playing at Carolina. You'll see Carolina tape. You'll see what Atlanta did. Maybe come up with an idea or two and try to throw them in there. But you got to still realize Jaden's young. You want to overload his plate. You want to make sure he's very comfortable with whatever plays you put in. You rep the hell out of him, but you still want to make sure you're repping the things that you've been good at.
One of the things we've been talking about on the show today within the last hour is how aggressively should they try to fix some of their flaws in season? What do you think they should do? This was supposed to have been a building year, but they're obviously ahead of schedule, and they've got an outstanding chance to win the NFC East. Should they try to go get a corner, you know, ahead of the Halloween deadline, or a pass rusher, or, you know, whatever they feel like could put them in a much better spot? Or should they just play this thing out, par the course, stay ahead of schedule, and wait till the offseason and get uber aggressive?
I'm on the phone right now trying to find another corner, maybe another defensive lineman, especially now that Jonathan's out for the year. You got to add to the depth, so they're going to have to add somebody. Whether or not they can get somebody via trade or not, I do not know, but I would definitely be on the phone and checking out every opportunity I could to upgrade my depth on the defensive line, get another possible cover corner in there, because if you don't, then you're going to have to play cover twos and all that stuff. Then you're going to put your defensive front in jeopardy, and they're not good enough up front to stop. So they got to do something. Hopefully they can, but if not, if they want to go with the guys they got, like I said before, they got to play with great effort. And like Danny said, we got to figure out ways to get turnovers.
What would, like, one good player I don't think would fix everything here on this defense, right? I mean, like, it's not as if a Micah Parsons Myles Garrett's available, presumably, right, to transform everything. Like, an upgrade at one spot, would that do the trick here, Jay? To me, there are a few different changes that have to make away, right?
Yeah, there's a couple. We need another defensive end to get some pressure and stop, play the run a little bit better, and obviously probably another linebacker for some depth back there, and obviously corner and maybe safety. So, yeah, they're playing their ass off, man. You got to give them a hell of a lot of credit. Coach Quinn does a great job coaching the scheme, but also coaching effort, and people buy in. So that's half the battle right there. The other half, we got to get some players in here and upgrade a couple spots.
All right, let's go round the horn. Some other NFL things with Jay Gruden. Joins us every Monday right here at 5 o'clock. Some of the other big storylines and games in the National Football League. You told us Caleb Williams would be just fine. You didn't like some of how Shane Waldron was running that offense. It seems like something's clicking. They've gotten their acts together. They've won 3 in a row. Williams has played very well. A career-high 4 touchdown passes against the Jaguars as they hung 35 in London. What'd you make of his game?
He's doing a lot better. He's making plays within the pocket. He's not moving around. His feet are calming down just a little bit. That's going to get better and better the more confident he feels in the scheme and what they're trying to do and what defenses are trying to attack where. So, yeah, he's been impressive. His ability to get better and better throughout the season so far has been good. He's got to keep it up, though. You know, the NFC North is really, really good. I mean, I think it's the best division of football. And Chicago's 4-2, Green Bay's 4-2, Detroit's 4-1, and Minnesota's 5-0. So they got a tough test coming up every week, and he's just going to continue to get better, stay the course.
Would you make it Dallas getting absolutely destroyed in a non-competitive fashion at home to a good Detroit team?
They just got smashed in the mouth, and it's been a recurring deal. New Orleans did the same thing. Green Bay did the same thing to them in the playoff game. They can't stop the run. They're not physical enough up front. You think Washington has problems up front? Go look at Detroit or Dallas's roster. They have little linebackers and little defensive linemen, and they're just getting bludgeoned to death. And it's a problem. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. They're in first and second down, second and two every play. They're never in third down, which is what Zimmer's specialty is third down blitz package, but he can't get to it because they're always behind or they're always, you know, always in first and 10.
What'd you make of Drake May's debut for the New England Patriots? They got beat pretty good by the Texans.
Yeah, you know, he made a couple good throws, which you like to see. Just want to have something coming out of the game, say, all right, we got somebody here. We got something to work with, and I think he did that. He is a little wild. He's a little erratic with his accuracy from time to time, but the competitiveness and how we play the game, how we manage a game, breaking the huddle, snap count, making a couple key throws and key situations was something to build on. I think he'll get better and better, but it'll take some time for him to show the progress that Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams have shown so far in the first couple weeks.
So it might be a little bit touchy here, but there's a situation in Cleveland, Jay, where there's a lot of money being paid to the quarterback, and somebody wants him to play. He's terrible. They're bad because of it. What would you do as the head coach in this situation? You know, how do you handle that when it seems like maybe there's an edict from on high? Nobody said anything, but man, is it ugly and awkward? And that roster's not that terrible. They're not as bad as their record is, except they are because the quarterback stinks, not giving them a chance every week. How would you handle? What would you do?
Yeah, their quarterback's bad. Their offensive line isn't very good either. They have issues receiving core. Other than Amari Cooper's not very good. Njoku's finally back and doing some different things. But yeah, you're right. I think at some point you're 1-5 for God's sake. Something's got to change. They got to make a change at a critical position, and players can see it. They can see the film that he's missing throws and he's running into sacks and he's struggling mightily. And I think they got to take a look at Jameis Winston, at least for a game, see how he does. Maybe go back to, you know, maybe go back to Watson later, but you got to give Winston a chance to turn a season around because they're losing it quickly and they're losing the players. They're losing the locker room because of it.
How'd the Bucs hang 50 on the Saints? Looks like four tutties from Baker Mayfield. That game was on while I was in Baltimore for Washington and the Ravens, but it seemed like they got up by a million. Then the Saints came back and took the lead. Then the Bucs still won by a million. What a weird game.
It was weird. I was watching that quite closely. It was right next to the Raven game and the Commander game, and it was a crazy game. New Orleans got a punt return, and they got three picks in the first half, I believe it was, and took the lead. And then some of the worst tackling I've ever seen in NFL history. They threw a little dump off to the running back. He ran for a 50-yard touchdown. They threw a little dump off check down to Gatto when he broke six tackles for a touchdown. Absolutely horrific if you're a defensive coach or a player on defense. It is going to be a tough Monday for you when you watch that tape.
Falcons rolled over the Panthers, Washington's opponent next week. What have you seen from Atlanta so far? It was a weird start, but you look up, they're 4-2 right there with Tampa in that division, and Carolina looks like they regressed to the mean a little bit, huh?
Yeah, Carolina just undermanned quite a bit. They have a lot of holes right now, defensively, offensively. Andy's trying to do as best he can, but they just can't overcome a horrific defense, and they're not good. Atlanta's tough. I mean, you add a quarterback like Kirk to a team with some good weapons. They have two outstanding backs. I mean, everybody talks about Bijan, but this Algier guy is a monster, and they're running the football very well, which when you can run the ball and you got Kirk Cousins as your quarterback, look out, because he is the master of the play-action game, and they're a good football team, and their defense is getting better.
Steelers-Raiders was pretty lopsided. Pittsburgh's 4-2. Justin Fields was, you know, meh as a passer, but made enough plays running the ball, and they were dominant defensively. What would you do if you're Mike Tomlin at quarterback? You know, you've won two-thirds of your game, so I guess maybe you just roll with Fields, but Wilson's healthy. What's your thought there?
Yeah, I'd roll with them. They're 4-2. I'd have to roll with them. You know, you keep them ready. Keep Russell ready if something happens to Fields. Fields is a younger player, and he does the same things as Russell, really, except he's more athletic. So I don't really see the upside in playing Russell Wilson other than his experience. But his last two or three years that he's played, the last year he played at Seattle and his last two at Denver, it wasn't very good. Now, it's not like we're putting in a guy that was coming off a Super Bowl loss in Seattle or a win in Seattle. It's not the same guy, in my opinion. So I would roll with Fields right now. And if he turns the ball over and puts their team at risk because of his turnovers, then I'd go to Russell. But right now, Fields is playing pretty good.
Similar situation, I guess different enough, though, in Indy, right, where they drafted a project. Anthony Richardson is a project. He was raw. Everyone kind of knew that. But right now, this minute, I know he's been hurt a little bit, so he's missed some time, so it's made the decision easier. But they're better right now with Flacco than they would be with Richardson. But the ceiling long-term with Richardson, some would argue, is higher, or at least worth experimenting with. How would you handle that as a coach where, obviously, those guys don't care about 5 years from now, 3 years from now. They want to win right now. And maybe as a coach, that's what you feel like, too. How would you handle that situation?
Production matters, yeah. And they weren't producing that much with Anthony as a starter, and he's young. He's going to get better. But when you put in a veteran guy like Flacco, and he's getting the ball to Pittman, he's getting the ball to Downs. They got a decent running game. I don't know if Taylor got hurt, but he's still hurt. But they got Sermon. He's doing okay. But you got to play with a hot hand. And then Richardson, this is a great learning experience. He's young. He only had four starts last year. Mm-hmm. He only played 1 year at Florida. He needs time to develop. He needs time in the cooker. So this is a great chance for him to learn from Flacco. Now, when he does come back healthy, maybe you have a package of plays for him to get him in the game for a series or so and do some of the quarterback design stuff and play action things that he's really good at. But for the meantime, you got to ride the hot hand because you're right back in a division race in the NFC South.
Jay, we'll let you out on this one here. Bills-Jets Monday Night Football first place game. Jets debuting a brand new coaching staff with a head coach in Jeff Ulbrich, and they've elevated now as a defensive coordinating role as well. So, how do you see Bills-Jets going tonight?
This is going to be a weird one to watch. You never know how a new coordinator is. You can't change the whole offense in a week, that's for sure. So, let me have a lot of similar concepts. But mainly, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers' show. He's going to have a lot of input in the offense and what he likes. He's going to try to get the ball to Garrett Wilson as much as he can. But Buffalo doesn't give up a lot of big plays defensively. I think it's going to be a tight game. It's going to be a lot of runs, a low-scoring game. And then the team that doesn't turn the ball over will win. And I think Josh Allen will probably make some plays with his legs. It'll prove the difference.
Jay, thank you as always, man. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Always good to have Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Great information on the Commanders and some good intel on some of the other games yesterday from around the NFL. You heard what he thought of Jaden Daniels. We've now seen six games from the rookie quarterback. He has played right at 35% of his rookie season. Let's take inventory on how we're feeling about the Heisman Trophy winner last year at LSU. Next on The Fan.
He blitzes, you throw it here. If he pops up, give it to him.
Here it is. To the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown. The timing was to perfection. McLaurin with the grab.
Tell him, Jim Nantz. Tough one for the Commanders. 30-23 loss in Baltimore yesterday. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan. We are excited for the start of the season like you are. However, we know that some folks around us may have lost a friend or family member recently. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori and Murad can guide you through the difficult probate administration process. They will help bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate. Schedule a free consultation with their probate and estate planning attorney today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. I actually want to play a quick game. I'll make it very, very short.
Okay.
Because we've got a lot to get into, including our thoughts on Jaden Daniels. Through six games. I think there are two types of people on the planet. There are people who find out that a player broke their leg and have to go find the video and watch it. And then there are people that want absolutely nothing to do with that and find it grotesque. And I'm going to correctly predict right now which of the three of you has already seen the clip of the Aiden Hutchinson broken leg. Okay?
Okay.
I would like you to know that while, by the way, thinking about Aiden Hutchinson, what a gruesome, awful injury.
Yep.
Great player. Such a bummer. Terrible situation. I absolutely went and watched that clip. I heard that it was disgusting and it happened, and I'm guilty of whatever that is. I had to find it and look at it and see, oh my God, and like yell audibly.
You actively sought the video out.
I did.
Okay. Oh my God.
I went to Twitter and I searched Aiden Hutchinson injury. And then I watched the clip. So that's me. Danny, you would never do that. You are team, don't show me that.
I would make a rule that you could never show it. So all the morbid, let's see the traffic accident people like yourself would be deprived of it. I accidentally saw it. Like I'm scrolling through.
Of course.
And it's just the next thing where it's like somebody has like the tiniest warning, like, turn away. If you're disgusted. And like I was like, wait, what? Why? Oh my God. Gruesome, horrible, awful. Wish I could unsee it.
So I don't think they should show replays like that on television. Let me be clear about that. I do think, though, okay, that while not showing it is better and everything, give me the option.
Mm.
Like this idea that nobody, like, you shouldn't post that clip, Fox or whoever. Maybe. I'm glad somebody does, because I should have the option to be able to see.
And they do their warning, usually.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like if it's really personal and intrusive and tragic, I don't need to know what's happening in Aiden Hutchinson's life. But it happened on a football field. It's an injury. I'm going to go watch it. But I'm one for one, Danny.
Oh, 100%.
You would not seek that out.
Ever in a million years.
Garris, you would absolutely not seek that out.
That would be correct. I would not seek that out. I'm not really into the gruesome injury thing. Unfortunately, like Danny, I scrolled, and it came up. And it was one of those things where, oh, there it is. I just saw it. I wish I didn't see it, but
you
now I saw
you
it.
You wouldn't have seen it.
Correct, yeah. But I don't actively seek out the Kevin Ware injury. I don't seek out the Paul Pierce injury. Paul Pierce. Yeah, wait, not Paul Pierce.
It's not
Paul George. There we go. That Paul guy. George. That Paul.
The injuries I don't like seek that, those out. Where part of the limb is just dangling, is like the worst thing. It's so gross. I was in my basement, and I saw the clip when I looked it up. And then I said to my wife, I said, can I show it to you? And she said, why would you even ask that? You know me. And she was like so upset at me. She's still mad that I showed her a picture of like Alex Smith post-surgery that was on the internet. That was the grossest thing anyone's ever seen. She's still mad at me about that.
Yeah.
But her brother, who was in the basement with us, who had just gotten back from the game, goes, oh, let me see it. And I showed it to him. Again, two types of people. Ryan, you definitely sought it out, like me, and you watched it multiple times.
And not only did Ryan seek it out, but he like laughed weirdly.
I don't think he laughed.
And he's like into it.
Because he's a Lions guy. I do think he was like eating while he watched it, and he's like, ho, ho, and he like took another bite.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
No, I did not laugh or anything like that, but I did seek it. I searched it myself. I was watching the game, but I did not actually see the replay because I missed it. I didn't see exactly what was wrong. I thought it was a knee injury, but then I went on Twitter, and it was not a knee injury. It was an ankle injury, and it was bad.
What'd you type in?
I could probably look it up right now, but likely Aiden Hutchinson
injury. I just did Aiden Hutchinson injury.
Let me look.
In fairness, I had no idea that it was what it was. I didn't know it was a broken leg like Alex Smith style. They just kept saying lower leg injury. Both teams came out, and I was like, oh, it's bad. I figured it would be like non-contact, or he just grabs at his leg. I had no idea what I was getting into when I searched that injury. If that helps you guys to think that I'm more of a human being.
Well, it doesn't. And the way it happened is just freakish. Like, he just whiplashed around somebody else's leg.
That should not make any sense. Your leg should not be able to essentially...
Ugh.
I know that it's not just bumping into another person.
Like, oh, that's a bruise.
I don't want to get graphic. But just, like, legs shouldn't wrap around things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how that happened.
I guarantee you Ryan sent a text with the words, hey, dude, look at this, to somebody with that video.
100%.
To the gross group text?
Yeah.
No, I did not do that. I'm a Lions fan. They're my second team at this point, but still, I would not do that.
Lions, Yankees, this college football team all of a sudden is like Texas.
Yeah, who's in the top five?
What happened to Notre Dame?
Big Longhorns guy. Hook 'em, Clary.
Hook 'em.
Let's go.
Who's behind you at the front of that line?
Quinn Ewers is back. Anyway, I think I was 3 for 3 in that exercise.
You were?
Yeah, easy. Yeah, you're right.
Not that it's the most difficult plane to land of all time. I got a pretty big runway to help me. But 3 for 3.
There's one of the three guys that laughs at injuries or laughs at like misfortune to people, and then two other people are squeamish.
What did you think of Jaden Daniels? We've talked about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at on him now through six games?
We have the thing. Like, this is all I kept saying. I said it this morning with the Junks. I've been telling friends this. I tell any kind of conversation where that win, lose in an individual week at this stage of this build, I'm not as concerned. The thing that I've wanted my entire life, We had it once to some degree with Griffin, where everybody's jealous and everyone's, you know, he's on every highlight. It's that plus, to me, a better skill set. No need to run Robert down from 12 years later. But Daniels is just more. There's just more to it. There's more. If you take this away, I've got that. We have one of the guys that 27, 28 other teams would go, yes, I'll have that. I'll take it right now, this instant. What's the price? And they'd pay it. And there's no reason for us to give it up. That, to me, is what it feels like. And I'm so scared of an injury. I'm so scared of having the rug pulled like it happened before. But right now, it feels like they nailed it. And the most important thing in sports, they've got.
He's playing at a top 10 quarterbacking level easily as a rookie through six games right now. And I just feel like yesterday was the best opportunity I've had to really get to watch and evaluate him passing the football from the pocket, because it was not a run the ball festival where he was benefiting from second and medium and third and short. There were obvious passing downs. It was his right arm or bust. And time again, from the pocket, he made the right reads. He made the right decisions. He got the ball out accurately. It was just a well-executed, effective, and efficient passing game. And he was proficient, not because he could run. Three design runs for 3 yards, three scrambles for like 19. Not because they ran the ball. They couldn't at all.
Mm-hmm.
Eckler wasn't overly effective. McNichols was pretty much uninvolved. Robinson was sitting in a press box somewhere, inactive or standing on the sideline. This was, you got to throw it, Jaden. And then they kept him in the pocket. They spied him with Roquan Smith. They did some really smart things defensively to take away the design running stuff. And he still made huge throws one after another, including the middle-of-the-field throw to Zach Ertz, where he rolls to his right, we talked about. He just kind of subtly moves after changing the protection to his left. 24-yard completion. I loved the in-breaker from under center, play-action drop, driving a ball to Terry McLaurin in the middle of the field. That was NFL, just big league pocket passer stuff, and he did it. And then he was smart. Again, he just proved to be really, really smart, Danny. Throwing the ball at Eckler's feet to stop the clock with 16 seconds left in the half, purposefully taking an incompletion. He just seems to be so mature and ahead of his years. It's hard not to be really, really excited about him.
Yeah, and it's not just locking in on one guy. It's not just, okay, I'm force-feeding McLaurin. It's the, you know, the one time Luke McCaffrey has a little bit of leverage and he darts it in there and he makes a play close to the goal line. It's, you know, it's Diami Brown. I guess that was a tunnel screen. Maybe Noah Brown is a better example, where it's not just force-feeding somebody. It's not like the security blanket, right? It's not like, okay, I've got a tight end that I like, so I'm just going to just, you know, feed Zach Ertz. It's like wherever the play is supposed to go, wherever the option is, that's where the ball goes. And I know that sounds, you know, rudimentary, but it isn't.
Speaking of receivers randomly catching passes, Luke McCaffrey caught a ball down on the goal line, almost scored his first touchdown.
Almost.
We almost had to eat some chocolate lava cakes.
That'd have been a real shame.
From Chili's today with a la mode ice cream scoop right there on top.
Right on top.
We almost had to.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, we didn't have to.
Mm.
Maybe next time. Where are you at on Daniels through six games? Is there anything you haven't seen yet that you need to? Is there anything at this point that you are still not sold on? Or are you ready to just change the conversation to, you got the quarterback, now what? G&D on the Fan.
Big part.
Second and goal from 6 yards away. Daniels back in the end zone. McLaurin has it for the Washington touchdown. Right over the top of Marcus Williams.
One of two hookups for a touchdown between Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin yesterday. Did you know Terry McLaurin already has 4 touchdowns? That ties his total from one season ago. In fact, he is 1 touchdown away, Danny, from his highest total since his rookie year in 2019.
What, didn't he only have 5 that year? That's his career high, right?
No, his rookie year he had 7.
He had 7, okay.
That was when, not to say he was more explosive, but he had about 16 yards a catch, a career high. He hit on a couple of like 75-yard first play of a drive, touchdowns. He had one of those, in fact, in week one, his first game ever. Remember, against the Eagles. Who was on the throwing end of that touchdown?
His rookie year against the Eagles?
75-yard touchdown, deep post, got behind the Eagles, into the paint.
Is that a Kyle Allen?
And it's not a Kyle Allen we're looking for before that.
Haskins?
This is before Dwayne Haskins. It was actually during Dwayne Haskins, as a matter of fact.
Alex Smith?
No. Equally as Jaggy.
Okay. Didn't Case Keenum?
There it is.
Okay.
Case Keenum.
Anyway, so glad we got to name all those quarterbacks. Gross.
The amount of bad quarterbacks Terry McLaurin played with that you just rattled off. Pretty great. But he is, his next touchdown will give him a tie for the most he's had since 2019.
How about that?
We're going into week
he's
seven.
He's always been a low touchdown guy. Just, I think that's a quarterback thing.
Well, it's a quarterback thing. It's a bad offense thing. He doesn't really get behind you all that much anymore. It's like everything is earned. But there's no one I'd rather have to hang on to the ball and taking a shot, win on a slant, make that catch on the sideline, or that catch falling to the ground in the end zone. Like he, whatever that is, Terry McLaurin against the world, I'll take him. The conscientious, be right, make me right, I need you, man, make the contested catch, the best ever.
He's got
at that.
He's got that thing that I always scream alone in my living room or wherever I happen to be, that the ball's so precious. The ball, so value it so much.
Please care about the ball.
Please care about it so much. Now, he dropped a catch last week that I trust them to make 1,000 times out of 1,000. Could have been a touchdown pass for Daniels. We don't care about it because they rolled in that game. But that's like almost like, I'm almost like glad that happened because that's going to be his one. Like that dude secure, he values that ball so much. It's so important. Just go get it. Haul it in.
Ancient philosopher Joe Witt says ball is life.
Ball is life.
I'm a ball is life guy myself.
Danny Rojas said that too, I believe. Ted Lasso.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely did.
Because the ball is life.
Yes,
Joe. Thank you,
Joe. Yeah, Joe.
We appreciate that. You know what else is life? Getting some stops on defense.
The way that we live is not for everybody.
Yesterday, it wasn't for people that wanted to see you get off the field.
Mm-mm.
For the most part. I'll tell you who it is for. It's for Zay Flowers having fantasy days. The way you live is for Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews.
It's for 400 yards of total offense for Lamar Jackson.
I shouldn't poke fun because it's really not your fault. I actually really like you. But the way you live yesterday was for the Ravens climbing the offensive standings and rankings.
Because we're going to run and put our bodies on people in a violent manner.
That's really interesting.
Chasing them down from behind.
In fairness, okay, Jeremy Chin did do that on the final play of the game out of bounds when Lamar Jackson had put the game on ice.
Because the ball is life.
Thank you. Let's go to Jonathan in Alexandria on G&D. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, fellas. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Got it, dude.
Yeah. So it's hard not to compare him to Griffin. Danny, you were hitting on this a little bit before. I feel like the biggest difference that I've seen, like the playmaking ability, anybody could call in and talk about that. The poise and the lack of his apparent need to play hero ball, I really like that. And listening to him in the media, too, and answering interview questions, I'm just really impressed with his ability to answer questions. He just sounds like a heady guy, and I'm just super excited about him for all those reasons. And, yeah, thanks again for taking my call.
Appreciate you, dude. There's the thing that's most important to me. There's a million. But remember, at this stage, Griffin had already been on Jay Leno, and it was this personality thing and this quirk and the socks and this, that. And the other thing, it felt like somebody that had arrived and was already a superstar. Daniels is a superstar, but yet works as hard now as he did what got him here. Not accusing someone else of lack of work ethic, but there's an application of I'm not just doing this for Instagram, I'm not just doing this for the social credit, it's a real deal, and I'll take my chances with a guy like that.
Yeah, the work habits are just awesome, and I agree with every word of that call. The only thing I would add is his accuracy and ball placement has been what I have liked the most since my first day out at training camp. He does, it's one thing, I always talk about the difference in baseball between control and command. Those words are used as synonymous, and they are not. Control is throwing the ball over the plate for a strike. Command is putting it where you want, dotting the strike zone, hitting a mitt. Jaden Daniels has control in terms of accuracy to the receiver. He also has command in terms of ball placement at the receiver around DBs, and I have really been enamored with that. Next on Grant and Danny, you will hear from Dan Quinn, spoke to the media today, updates on injuries, including what sounds like a season-ending pec injury for John Allen if you're just jumping in your car. Also, don't forget about what's not getting enough mentions today as far as the Commanders' loss yesterday. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.